And run over to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter 28, we're going to read just one verse here today. So once you have found your place, if you're able to, let's go ahead and stand in the honor of reading our Father's holy word here. Matthew 28, and verse number 19. Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, the authority of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." You'll notice here real quickly that he didn't say baptize them in the name of the Baptist, in the name of the Catholics, in the name of Buddha, in the name of Confucius. He says to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. He didn't even sit here and say baptize them in my name. He didn't say just baptize them in the name of the Father. He said all three of us baptize in our name. I want to bring our sermon here this morning on this thought, the Trinity. The Trinity. Most gracious Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We thank you, God, for allowing us another opportunity to gather here at Faith Baptist Church to learn of your holy word, to learn about you and what you've got here for us. And we do pray, Lord, that you'd help us, please, to open up not just our eyes, our ears, but also our hearts to take in what you've got here for us today on this simple little thought. And we do pray, Father, that you'd help us please to recognize what you've got here for us. That there is no wasted words in your Bible. And that if we will do the study and if we'll put in a little bit of effort, the motherload of blessings that's there for us. Or I guess it would be more a fatherload of blessings. To be more accurate. Point being, Father, you've got so much here for us. Help us, Father, please. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, just to warn everybody, I know this can be a little bit of a scary idea here. He said he's going to preach on the Trinity. Don't panic. We're not going to be here till the same time next week. We're going to keep it really simple here this morning. I like to keep the cookies on the bottom shelf, primarily because I'm lazy. I don't like to have to work for it. I want it given to me. And so I just want to give you a little bit of a snapshot here today about the Trinity and some of the aspects of the Trinity. We are continuing to look at biblical doctrine here. And it's a necessary thing for us to understand that there is this Trinity. If you go and you talk to any Muslim and you ask them about Allah, they will tell you Allah, their God, does not have a son. Well, I'm here to tell you, my God, his name is Jehovah, not Allah, and he's got him a son. And his son's name is Jesus. According to John chapter 3, verse number 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." That word begotten there is incredibly important for us, church. If your Bible leaves that word begotten out, throw it out. Because that Bible has thrown out the word begotten, it has thrown you out of heaven. Believe it or not there. Because that word begotten means that it is naturally born. I have been adopted into the family of God, and we'll deal with this a little bit later on here today. But that word begotten is important for us because it allows you and me to be allowed into the family of God. So he's got one natural born son, but he's got millions upon millions of children that he's brought into his family. And I hope and pray today that you are one of them as well. Because I don't want to be the only one from Faith Baptist in Whiting, Indiana to go to heaven. But I want you to know, the word Trinity ain't found in the Bible. It just ain't there. But just because something is not there does not mean it's not there. We literally just read here in Matthew 28, verse number 19, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I ain't very good at counting. Let me do it the old-fashioned way. One, two, three. Yes, three. That means three. That means you've got a Trinity, because Trinity talks about three. If y'all can't even laugh at that horse joke, we're going to have some problems here today with the rest of the sermon, amen? Because this is important, church. We've got something that actually goes all the way back to Genesis chapter number 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. I told you about this earlier, and yes, there are things that we will repeat often as we go through the idea of doctrine here, because the more you repeat something, the better chance you've got of remembering it. Verse number 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. It's talking about God the Father. And you get to verse number 2, it talks about how the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. Verse number 3, and God said, that's the spoken word of God. Jesus is the spoken word of God. He is the Word made flesh. So verse number 3, you've got God the Son. 3, Trinity. Right there at the very start from the word go. It is in our Bibles. But you're going to have people who will sit there and they will argue with you nonstop. And you're going to find oftentimes you can win the argument if you've done some studying. Because generally, they ain't done no study. They've sat there under somebody, someone lecturing in college. They've sat there and they've watched some videos online. Well, I'll give you a good one, a video I saw online several months back there. This video, and y'all know me, I don't like other versions of the Bible but the King James. And a very good reason why we need to make sure we got us the King James is because some of these other versions, they twist Scripture real good. This video I was watching, it said that God approves of abortion. God prescribed abortion. Don't believe me? Hey, why not? Let's run over to Numbers chapter 5. This ain't part of the sermon, so I won't charge you for this. All right, I'm going to give you this one just for the fun of it. Numbers chapter 5. Numbers. Oh, it'd help if I was actually Numbers 5 and not Numbers 3. Numbers chapter number 5, verse number 22. Now this is when they're dealing with a wife who the husband thinks has been unfaithful to him. Okay, so he's got God prescribes a method for finding out if she's been unfaithful to him. Verse number 22. And this water that causeth the curse shall go into her bowels to make thy belly to swell and thy thigh to rot, and the woman shall say amen and amen. The NIV and the CEB both say that it will cause her to miscarry. That's the same, because it's not something her body is naturally doing. She's drank this water. It's caused her to miscarry. That's the same thing as promoting an abortion. Our God doesn't do it. That's why we need to study, church. That's why we need to know what we are getting into our Bibles and reading here. Because there's a world out there that will argue with you that there is no such thing as a Trinity. There are people that will argue with you that Jesus was just a good person. He was just a good teacher. But that's all there is to it. We need to make sure that we are in the Word of God here. That's why we're trying to look at the doctrines. Because we need to know what we are talking about when we go out there witnessing to a lost and dying world. Because they'll fight you on anything and everything. You say, well, how in the world can you explain the doctrine then? Because they'll ask that. Come on. The Bible says, your Bible says in Deuteronomy 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. How in the world can you possibly say your God is three, but yet the Bible itself said one? And they will challenge you on this. You want to get abused again? Come on up here, Brother James. I like this young man. He's a good guy. This is one way that you can easily explain the Trinity. Hi, my name is Dennis Ray Sampson Jr. Nice to meet you. Now, I just literally told him everything about myself that is necessary to prove that I am a triune being myself. You see, we shook hands. You all hear me talking. I'm alive. You can check and find I got a pulse. I never can. But supposedly I do have a pulse. That means that I'm alive. And because I am alive means my soul is in my body. So you have now met Dennis Ray Sampson Jr., the soul. Nice to meet you. Hi, my name is Dennis Ray Sampson Jr. Nice to meet you. The junior is a little bit of a hint that I'm a son. That I've got a daddy. Okay? Guess what his name is? If you said Dennis Ray Sampson Sr., give yourself a gold star. He is my daddy. I am his son. Hi, my name is Dennis Ray Sampson Jr. Nice to meet you. By the way, that's my daughter Grace. Now, she don't look like me. Here's why that's a good thing. Because literally, and I've told my wife this, I said if she came out looking like me, I was going to slap the doctor and put her right back where she just came from. Okay, I did not want to curse that child by looking like this. All right? But we can do a DNA test if you want and show that she is my child. So I have just identified myself as a living being to him. I've just identified myself as a son to him. And I've just identified myself as a daddy to him. Three beings in one. If my dad was here right now, I could talk to my dad as his son. I can talk to her as her daddy. And I can talk to him as a friend. All at the same time. But yet I'm only one. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. See, I was nice to you today. Oh, I beat him up real good last time. Another way that you can look at the Trinity. Look at the egg. You've got that hard shell. You open it up. You find what? There's a yolk. And there's the white. All three exist at the exact same time. Water. You can have it as a liquid. You can turn it into steam so it's now in a gaseous state. And you can freeze it so it's now in a solid state. Three different states for one item. So God can be God the Father. At the same time, He can be God the Son. At the same time, He can be God the Holy Spirit. A Trinity. But if we don't know what we're talking about, and all of a sudden we're and a whole lot of ums, and like. And you know what happens when people start hearing and like? They start tuning you out. Because obviously you don't know what you're talking about. But when you can stand there in confidence, hey, let me tell you about Jesus Christ and what He's done for me. Let me tell you how we are all born sinners, that we all are in need of a Savior. Hey, you know that if you've ever told a lie, even if it's a little white lie, Fred, I'm going to pick on Fred now. Let's say that Miss Janet, and she doesn't, okay, we're all aware. Let's say Miss Janet weighed 500 pounds. Okay? And she comes to Fred one day, and she's got on this dress, and it looks like she's walking around in a tent. And she says, Fred, does this dress make me look fat? And Fred's fighting for his life at the moment. He's, how do I lie to her without getting in trouble with God? And he says, no, dear. But in the back of his mind, he says, no, you make the dress look fat. But he doesn't say that because he wants to live. So he says, no, dear. Because he doesn't want her to kill him. You said that a little too fast. He has to tell a little white lie. But you know that little white lie, even though it was to save him from his lovely wife, Miss Janet, who does not weigh 500 pounds at all, from killing him, has now made him to sin before God.
then that would make him a liar. And the Bible says we're not to bear false witness, and that would make him a sinner. So because he told that white lie, he's now bound for hell unless Jesus saves his soul. And we need to be able to get this across to people. They need us to be confident. They don't need us to be sitting here stuttering and stammering and tripping over our own 2 feet in the process of trying to tell them something. So if we need to be able to explain the Trinity just a little bit to them for them to get it through their thick skulls, because we try to get it through our thick skulls, then we need to know what we're talking about. We need to put forth the effort, church.
Because they'll throw that in your face, Deuteronomy 6:4. He's one. Well, yeah, he's one, but he's also three at the exact same time. So what do these three members of the Trinity do? Well, God the Father, He gave His Son for us. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." A child is born. That's a natural, everyday occurrence. Run of the mill. It happens every single day. Another child has been birthed onto planet Earth here. No big deal. But it says, unto us a son is given. Now this wasn't a matter of a 50-50 coin flip, and it happened to land for the male to be born. No, this is a matter of God has now given His Son for us. He should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He can be called all these things because of what He did there on the cross of Calvary. Because God gave His Son. Jesus prayed there in the garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but thine be done. His flesh did not want to go to the cross and die, but Jesus said, I'm going to do what my Father has sent me to do. He has given me as a ransom for many. As a matter of fact, Jesus gave His life for us there, Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. As I just said there, God gave His Son. Jesus willingly sacrificed Himself for us. A ransom we couldn't pay. How many times have you ever seen someone kidnapped and they pay their own ransom? If they had the money on them, the kidnappers would have took that money and still asked for a ransom. We ain't got what it takes to ransom our souls out of hell. It required Jesus Christ coming and dying upon that cross for us. And the Holy Spirit seals us. He lives inside of us when we ask Jesus to save us. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 18 and 19. Paul writes, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" Holy Spirit takes and lives inside of us. You go over there to Ephesians chapter number 1. It talks about that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Anybody in here ever done any canning of vegetables? Preserves? Yeah, I see a couple heads shaking yes. Y'all can go ahead and say yes out loud. Don't worry, I won't bite your head off. And let me just say this real quickly here. We're pausing the video for a second. Pause there on the recording. Okay. Hollering out amen and hallelujah and yes and whatever else will not cause any preacher to go longer than what the Lord has got for him. Actually, it'll speed him up because then he gets really excited. So y'all just go ahead and shout out those yes answers. Okay, we're starting the video again. Thank you all for being paused. Records back on there. All right, so we've got some people who have been canning. What happens when you can, say, green beans? You've washed them, you cooked them, you put them in that can, put the lid on it, pressure cooker, the pop goes on there, you pull them out after they've cooled up, off, you turn them upside down, make sure nothing falls out, you take that ring out and you put it on your shelf. You have now canned those green beans. You can take that can of green beans. You can go over to the little Cayman River in that marshland right there behind where the depot's at that I work out of, and you can bury it in that muck and mire that's back there for the next 100 years. As long as no outside force acts upon that can, When you dig it out of that ground 100 years from now, they will taste just as good as they did the day you canned them. Because they were sealed. They were sealed properly. See, the green beans inside do not break out. You cannot lose your salvation. For you to lose your salvation would require you to overcome the seal of the Holy Spirit. Oh, by the way, John chapter number 10, Jesus said that you are in my hands and I am in the Father's hands. So not only do you have to break the seal of the Holy Spirit, you've now got to break loose of Jesus' hands, and then you've got to overcome the hand of the Father because He's in the hand of the Father. That's triple security. You can't lose your salvation, neither. So the Holy Spirit living inside of you is a wonderful thing. That's something that He does as part of the Trinity. We've got God looking out for us. We've got Jesus dying for us. And then we got the Holy Spirit living in us.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's like telling a hunting dog to sick him. So how did they bring us into this? Oh, the Father chose us. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Remember, we dealt with that a couple weeks ago. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. According as He hath chosen us. I like that. He wanted us. You know, I used to, in my younger days, I used to collect baseball cards, Brother James. And I would have X number of dollars to go and buy some baseball cards. And I'd look there at the display cases. Which one do I like? Which one can I afford? I really like this one right here, but I can't afford it. I like this one here, and I can afford them, but I want that one, but I can't afford it. You know, it don't work that way with God at all. No siree. You see, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills plus 1,000 hills underneath the cattle. And Jesus came and He died for whosoever believeth in Him. He has come, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life in Him. So when He chose that one, and 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 all of those choices, by the way, were for the whole world. Not one person did He say, no, not that one. Adolf Hitler, all the millions that he was responsible for killing. Guess what? Jesus died for him too. Judas Iscariot, that scoundrel, kissed Jesus, betrayed Him for 30 pieces of silver. Brother James, he can't possibly have chosen Judas Iscariot either to be saved. There's just no way. He died for Judas Iscariot too. Preacher, you don't know what I've done. I don't care. He died for you too. He chose you. It's a matter of will you accept Him. The Son gave His life for us. Ephesians 1:5. Having predestinated. Again, that simply means that He knew who would accept and who wouldn't. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. So even though Jesus had to hang on that cross for 6 hours, suffering, naked as the day He was born, in every way, shape, or form, looking like a side of beef up there, He didn't look all pretty like you see on these crucifixes with a little towel wrapped around Him. Didn't happen that way either. He was a side of beef hanging there, but it still was the good pleasure of His will to save you. Amen, preacher! Thank God He died for me! He did that because He wanted to. I was witnessing to a fellow a few years back, Brother Tim. And I told him, so you know, Jesus died for you. You know what he did? He looked at me and says, you know what? I really think if He'd have had His choice, He'd have put me on the cross instead of Himself. I says, no. No, buddy. He went there for you. You know what? He went there just for you. He went there just for me. Went there just for you. 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 That was His choice, His pleasure, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand God the Father. Aren't you glad He's sitting there at the right hand and not the left hand? The left hand's where vengeance comes from. I'll smite you for what you've done. The right hand there. Oh, there He's making intercession for us. The Holy Ghost, well, He brings us into the family. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. No, no, no. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You get sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And can I just say this? When you get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. When I got saved as an 8-year-old boy there, Miss Lynn, my right foot didn't get saved that day, and a couple weeks later, my left arm got saved. I got saved through and through. By the way, you don't start speaking in tongues just because you got saved. Anyone who tells you that, they need to go over there to 1 Corinthians 13 and do a little bit of studying. The sign of tongues was simply that, a sign to the Jews that salvation was now going out to the Gentiles. And once the Bible was complete, that's it. They didn't need no more signs. We now have the Bible. So don't let someone tell you, well, if you're speaking in tongues, then you're saved. No, you're speaking in tongues, you probably just smashed your thumb with the hammer, amen? Stubbed your little toe on something. Or you've got back problems. You know, Brother Howard is here. I know he'd say amen to that one. So what do the Trinity do for us? Well, the Father, He bears the responsibility for the family. He's a good Father that way. Now, I realize there's a lot of issues now in our modern society. Sometimes there's no Father there in the house. Sometimes He has physical issues. He can't go out and get a job. Sometimes He just simply can't get no luck on finding a job. Mama's got to go out and get a job. Mama's got to take care of the kids, the house, everything. He ain't around. Whatever the case is, I'm not trying to bash no one on that. But as I read my Bible, and as my Bible teaches me, the Father has the responsibility to take care of His family. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply some of your need according to His riches and glory. Your Bible says some, throw it out. But my God shall supply a couple of your needs. Does your Bible say that? No, okay. But my God shall supply the needs He feels like supplying. Does it say that? All right, starting to get quiet. I got to get you all wound up here again. But my God shall supply most of your needs. Does it say that? All right, we're getting going. I'm gonna get y'all going with the little engine that could here. But my God shall supply all but one of your needs. No. No? All right. Well, how about this one? But my God shall supply all of your need. Need. Need, do you realize that that word is singular? It says need to it. It doesn't say needs, because if you're starting to deal with needs, that means you're starting to deal with desires and wants. He says, I'm going to supply all of your need, which means He's going to take care of the need. Once that need's took care of, guess what? That means He's going to move on to the next need, because you don't need that next need done till the primary need is done. That next need then becomes the new primary, so on and so forth. It's like walking. You got one foot in front of the other, and soon you will discover. Come on, y'all know that song. I can't think of the title of it or words from, but y'all know one foot in front of the other. Do I got to start walking these pews again?
Sure.
I'll do it again. Because I'm telling you right now, he's laughing. He don't know that I'll do this. I ain't going to sit here and hop over there. I'm too old, fat, broke down, worn out, fat, no. I will fall and kill myself. But if I take it one need at a time, look what happens. I make progress. Martha's waving me off. Oh, no, we can't do that. Oh, we can't do that. No. Because we
We got that one need. Our Father's going to supply all of our need according. I love that word according. That word according tells me it ain't going to actually deplete His funds. I reach into my pocket right now. What do I got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I got 7 singles right here. And let's just say, you know, I've been mean to him. I'm gonna be nice to him. Let's just say now, out of my seven singles, I give Brother James 1 single. Guess what? I now only have 6 singles right here. So I come over to Brother Tim, man, I appreciate all that you've done here, and I give you a single. Now, I no longer have 6 singles. Fred's raising his hand. He wants a couple of them for him and Miss Janet. Now what happens? I am now depleting my funds. I don't have $7 left. So hey, we come on over here. And we do just like that. All right, whoopee. Make sure you give one with your wife. And I know Ms. Janet really has got to give you both. But don't say that in front of everybody. Now what happens? 1, 2, 3. According to my need? No, according from what I've got. I've only got the $3 left. But God does it according to His riches. So no matter how much riches I need to get the job done, to supply this need, it's not going to deplete anything He's got. He's that great of a Father. He's going to take care of my need. And if I really needed those ones back, guess what? I'd reach into my pocket and I'd pull out and there'd be another 7 there instead of just the 3. So I guess I really didn't need them back. Yeah. Now the Son, He goes to the Father on our behalf. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Remember, He's sitting on the right hand of the Father that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come fearfully unto the throne of grace. Did your Bible say that? I heard a no, sir. All right, we're going to have to do this again. All right, therefore let us come cowardly unto the throne of grace. Did your Bible say that? All right, no, we're going to do this till we get it right, church. Let us therefore come timidly unto the throne of grace. I see heads shaking, but I can't hear that rattling. Y'all got to speak. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Is that it? Is that what your Bible says, boldly? Well, if it says boldly, then boldly say yes. There we go. Woo! We'll get y'all trained up yet. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Son goes to the Father on our behalf so that we can get the help that we need. Y'all know her. Yeah, time to pick on you, midget. I think it's pretty obvious that she has a particular desire. I'm going to put it that way. That desire, from Daddy here, Mama would agree, Gracie would agree, you can stop giving me that dirty look, would be for her to walk and not be in that wheelchair.
It's all our desires.
Okay?
Now,
if that was the genuine need, she'd do it. But here's the need. For her to be in that chair. How can you say that? That's your child. Because I understand that God made her that way. That He shaped her in her mother's womb. That she can be used of Him exactly the way she is. That she can be a witness, a testimony for God. But when she needs something, she can go to her Savior and ask Jesus to help her with it. You know, I don't care how much they legislate no more prayer in school. So long as there are tests, there will be prayer in school.
That's
And she can pray and ask Jesus to help her with that test. And be a little bit of a witness to her classmates in the process. Yes, she needs to have studied so she knows what Jesus can bring back to her mind, but Jesus can work through her. And the Holy Spirit works to support us. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You ever been in a position where you've so needed to pray? You just can't find the words. You are so burdened with something. All you can do is come down to the altar there and just... And that's all you can get out. The Holy Spirit's saying, don't worry about it, my child. I know exactly what you're saying. And I'll go to the Father on your behalf. And while you can't even wrap your mind around what it is that you're burdened with, He knows all about it. And you go out and you witness to somebody. If you've done your studying and you've got the Scriptures, you at least know where the Scriptures are to turn to lead someone to the Lord. The Holy Spirit will be right there with you, helping you, guiding you as to what to say. Again, so long as you've given Him the material to work with. And He can use you to lead someone to a saving knowledge of Jesus. He works with us. And because they're a Trinity, because they are one individual, they don't have to sit down and have a powwow and catch each other up. You know, give me a hand. James, Tim, come on up here. We're going to huddle up real quick. See, now look, if that's the type of committee that you and I would have, we'd get a couple of people here together right away, and one of us would be dragging our feet, stumbling over something. Something went wrong in our lives, and I'm not picking on it. But the fact of the matter is, it happens to us in life, does it not? We're trying to get a little group together here, and something happens. Phone rings. Plans come up. Issue with the scheduling. Oh, I forgot about that doctor's appointment. A friend just walked in the door, whatever the case is. But not with God, because all three of us are right here together, and we are able to talk right now and get everything straightened out. Everything is good. Because when one found out about it, all three knew about it at the same time. It wasn't a matter that the Holy Spirit said, all right, now, Jesus, this is what's going on. Father, this is what's going on. Now you all know what's going on. We're all in the same boat. It don't work that way with God. So at the same time, the Holy Spirit's uttering those groanings. And Jesus is there on the throne, is right there at the right hand of God the Father on the throne, and He's making intercession for us. And the Father is ready to forgive. The Father's ready to send blessings. The Father's ready to give all that help. They don't have to have a conference call. They already know all about it. They do all of this on our behalf. Thank you, fellas. Appreciate it. That is the advantage of a Trinity. Whereas these other religions, they've got to have their prophet then turn around and go to their God. They've got to meet with one God and have that one God go and meet with the other gods. By the way, those are little g's. You got to hope this God's in the mood and this God won't sit there and say, well, no, I don't think so. You ain't got the conflict of interest going on there with polytheism and all these other things. Our God is one. Three in one. As they come with the song of invitation, let me just say all three of them, they do work in unison for us, though we don't deserve it at all. They offer us salvation we don't deserve at all. that we could never possibly hope to receive on our own at all. But yet they have that salvation ready for us. So I've got one question and a statement in closing today. The question is this, and it's the most important question I can ask you today. Have you accepted the offer they've given of salvation? And the statement's this, once saved, these three in one will mean so much more to you than you can possibly ever know. My Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for loving us, for saving us. We thank you, God, that even though we touch so simply here on this subject of the Holy Trinity, that there's still so much more. So much more than we could even possibly fathom. You are just that glorious, that powerful, that wonderful, that exciting. It blows my mind, Lord. It blows my mind that you would love me this much in spite of me. I can't grasp it. And I'm so thankful that I don't have to. Thank you, Father. I pray, Father, for each and every one that is here, who's tuned in, to listen later on, whatever the case would be, that they were able to get what they needed out of the sermon here today. And that all of us would take and apply it to our lives and go forward, out from these four walls, and bring honor and glory to your name and lead someone to Christ. In the precious name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen.